have arrived. Thursday, the debate amongst friends. Doc Leisner, the podcasting beast, the Professor John Gotti, the King of Energy, the Troll Master, the Data Analyzing Ninja, the conqueror of his own fate. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, the Terminator, and yes, the cleaner.
I almost forgot my lines.
That's good. I know you didn't, though.
But I am the podcasting machine, the best podcast.
There you go. I was going to say one of those little carrots things. Carrot, insert best.
The whole thing was, that was the whole shtick of the whole thing. Yes.
You remember those little carrots we used to write in elementary school? Insert best.
Elidio, we're always staying. Tranquilo. How are you doing, man? You've been
great.
Quite the busy bee lately.
Yeah, I hate bees.
Okay, quite the busy Bob lately.
I won't even talk about that. I'll be a busy Bob. The builder. Anywho, we had WNBA last night. I was doing great, man. How you doing? Did you watch Brittany Griner dunk on the sky? Did you watch the sky blow the lead? Did you watch the clock malfunctioning? Did you watch Devin Booker and Chris Paul in the stands cheering that Phoenix Mercury team on?
I watched how people actually cared about the WNBA.
It was interesting. It seemed like it was pretty litty yesterday. It was a good game, you know. Like, you think about it, I've been saying all along that I wanted to jump in, and yesterday, despite the inequities,
the entire season, by the way,
right? and I could see why. I mean, it has nothing to do with the ladies. I think it's just the management of the game. Like I told you, the clock was off. Even Candace Parker was like, hey, like, what's going on? Like, I didn't even get the ball in my hand, right, from the inbound. And the clock alarm went off. And I was like, okay, well, that's kind of something's going on there. And then at the end of regulation, it happened again. And I was like, all right, something really rough is going on. But
yeah, it was real college basketball in a bad way.
Yeah, in a bad way, exactly. Now, I will give a quick shout out to Courtney Vandersloot, who, I mean, 20 points, 14 assists. She was giving the Mercury a run for their money. And it wasn't just her. It wasn't the scoring or the assist. It was just her ability to make the right play at the right time. It was a great performance. I know, you know, most of the time we follow, Candace Parker, what she's doing. But what I saw out of Miss Vandersloot was simply amazing. The big shots. I know they were trying to get some of the other players hot. I know Quigley was one of the people that they were trying to get hot, but I think she had missed a couple shots in the beginning, so it was kind of hard for her to get in rhythm. And at the end, she took a really, really bad shot in overtime that kind of led to an open Brittany Griner layup. But there were some weird things. The Mercury definitely lucked out. I know at the end of the third quarter, I believe it was, there was a three that was called off because the time had expired. But again, clock issues, right? So it makes sense that it seemed like it would have went in. And of course, the focus on Shai Petty, who they were talking about in the fourth quarter and how she had got cut by like seven different teams. She'd been in the league since she was 21, but this is her first opportunity to get a chance to actually play. So I thought that was a pretty interesting touch. But Brittany Griner, Diana Taurasi, you know, Skylar Diggins-Smith with the mean crossover at the end to ice the game. They came as advertised. I will say that even though she only hit one shot, the one mid-range shot from Kia Vaughn was a big one because it was kind of like a momentum breaker in the third quarter. Because Chicago, they just they're just playing with a little bit more fire, and it took until the fourth quarter for Phoenix to really turn it up, because it was just like, hey, throw the ball into Brittany Griner and, you know, let her kick it out. And of course, Diana Taurasi doing, you know, shooting the threes, you know.
I mean, it was really the third quarter is when Chicago started to pull away a little bit. They did tie. Yeah. They did at halftime, tied at 40. So.
But the Mercury were up before that. That's what I was saying. So I feel like they were, like, it didn't seem like Phoenix, I don't know, it seemed like they just weren't putting their foot on the gas at all. You know, I'm watching Skylar, you know, do her thing. She's running around, you know, doing a really, really good job facilitating. Obviously, she almost had a triple-double. I mean, she was really doing great. But for a lot of that third quarter when I think Taurasi was out, I felt like the offense was stagnant because it was just like, hey, throw it into Brittany Griner, and then Chicago would double-team her, and she would have to kick it out, and somebody would have to make a big shot. But a lot of people weren't making those big shots. There was a lot of missed layups yesterday.
Yeah, you was talking about whether or not they're using the double rim.
Yeah, that's what it reminded me of, being in a, you know, in the park with a double rim and that thing's just bouncing around, and I'm just like, what the heck is going on? But I don't know, Johnny. It was a good game, though. I mean, I watched it from second quarter. I didn't catch the first quarter, but I watched the second quarter through the end. I did peek it over time. You know, even though I said I was going to read it in the funny papers, I did peek back in to the Spectrum out. You know, shout out to Spectrum, even though they, you know, they're not paying us for this, but
nope.
Shout out to them for allowing me to watch on my phone. But I'm looking forward to game three. I'm glad it was on Wednesday, and I'm assuming that the next game is on Friday, which would be perfect.
It is.
Yeah, that's perfect. And then Sunday at 3 p.m., right, which falls right between, you know, the end of the 1 o'clock games, or, you know, tail end of the 1 o'clock games, right before those 4 o'clock games. So might get a chance to really watch some of that as well. Plus my Bucks play today, so we'll have to wait and see. But I mean, I guess we could just jump right into those Bucks, man. I mean, that was a good WNBA game, but I mean, we got some predictions to go over.
We do.
You said you was going to hold off on this until today, and here we are.
Thursday night football. The reigning, defending, undisputed National Football League.
Forgot about
champions,
that.
Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Forgot they did
head
that.
Over to the city of brotherly love as they take on the 2-3 Philadelphia Eagles. I mean, I don't know what to say about Philly. They're really inconsistent. But the Bucs have been inconsistent, but they tend to pull away. For some reason, the first 2 to 3 quarters of a game, the Bucs just allow teams to just stay in there.
Right.
And then that fourth quarter, that's when they finally decide to wake up. Yeah. I hope they don't do that, because that's sure. A really bad sign if they're playing down to the competition.
Right. I agree.
But Philly is just in disarray. it's so bad that people are asking for Doug Peterson to come back. That's really, really bad.
Oh, God. So when you look at their numbers, though, I mean, 14th in offense, 9th in defense, 12th in passing, 13th in rushing. They're pretty middle of the pack team. So, I mean, they're doing things well. It's not that they're not doing things well. It's just they're not figuring out a way to pull it all together and make it, you know, make wins. I mean, you look at the Bucs, 3rd in offense, 15th in defense, number 1, of course, in passing, but number 26 in rushing, which makes sense because, you know, obviously we had a couple fumbles in the last couple games. We played some really, really tough run defensive teams. And I just think that they like to pass. I mean, Tom just wants to pass the ball. Byron Leftwich wants to pass the ball. Antonio Brown, Chris Godwin, Mike Evans, Gronk, OJ, Cam Brate, Darden, and Johnson, all these guys, they just want to pass the ball. Even when they run the ball, sometimes they hand it off to Antonio Brown or they hand it off to Chris Godwin. So it's a lot. I'm sure Rojo and I'm sure, you know, Leonard wants to run the ball. But at this point, we haven't gotten to a point where people can really stop the onslaught of passes. Yep. And last season, we didn't. I thought we passed too often on third and short, right? It's so weird. And it's so crazy because Tampa lives on play action.
They do.
With no running. Who would have thought a team that is 26th in rushing still fools people with play action?
You know why? Because you have a running back core that can just hit home run plays. True. And defensive coordinators know that. So they have to honor the play action.
It's true.
That's now, like I will a big say this. Difference between like the Chiefs doing play action and the Bucks doing play action.
Right. Now, I will say this. I think the Eagles are going to give the Bucks some trouble because obviously they have a scrambling quarterback. And our whole thing will be to try to contain him for as much as we possibly can. But I don't know. It's going to be tough to say that the Bucks would lose this game.
The key is going
to
be how the defense go after Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts, who's really, really good against the blitz.
Right. Which that's what I'm saying. I don't think we're going to blitz him.
No, the Bucks partly blitz.
Right. Well, we do blitz. Actually, we blitz quite often. I mean, Todd Bowles is a blitz machine. I mean, he's no, Rex Ryan or anything. But
Well, he'll disguise the blitz.
Oh, he does a great job disguising.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
I would say that the Bucks send the corners and safeties more than anybody I've ever seen. I will say that.
But I will say that Jalen Hurts has, struggled if it's just four rushers going after him, though. Only threw three touchdowns and three picks during those scenarios.
That's interesting. And you know Shaq Barrett's coming, right? You know, you got rookie Joe Tryon. He's coming. Yep. Obviously, JPP loves playing against Philly, right?
Former Giant.
So I was going to. Yeah, exactly. So it's going to be interesting to say the least, see what happens. But obviously, I'm going to pick the Bucks. I think it'll be – I'll give it a two-score game. I doubt we score another 40-something points.
I am also going to go with the Bucks, even though I have taboos against Thursday night football games.
Of course. And you know us. I mean, this is the same situation where we came to New York, right, last year. And, Daniel Jones, looked like an MVP candidate. And then we got bailed out at the end of the game on a no-call.
Exactly. I actually think, based off how Philadelphia's defense is, I actually think that I can at least get 35.
35? It depends. I mean, like I said, and I think it was
with the score being 35-21. That's going to be what I'm thinking. What you're going with.
Yeah, I'm not sure. And the thing about it is that I know that, some people in their fantasy leagues are like, oh man, I could have had Antonio Brown, right? Instead of, but the thing about it is like, as a Bucks fan, like I never draft more than one Buck.
Yeah.
I had Gronk last year, and I think I had Chris Godwin, possibly. Maybe.
Yes, it was Chris Godwin.
Because
he was getting upset because either he wasn't getting the ball enough. I think he had like a drop in one game. You're like, man, I don't know why he sat there and dropped that ball like that. Because I think it was a wide open touchdown.
Happened a lot last year. Oh my God, that happened a lot. That was really rough. He dropped a lot of passes. But this year, he's actually been really, really good. He's been shorthanded. But he did break his finger also. That was the other part. I can't skip past that. The fact that he broke his hand, I believe it was, or his finger or something. But I'm thinking that it'll be interesting to see if Philadelphia can play against all these receivers. Obviously, the offensive line for the Bucks has been playing much better. But if the Eagles can again, like everybody else, move Tom Brady off the spot, right? That's the whole goal. Then it'll be a tough game. Jalen Hurts, obviously going to try to play his best game ever. Who doesn't want to beat the GOAT, right? The righty, right? Who doesn't want to beat Tom Brady and the Super Bowl champs? So we'll see what happens. But Bucks Eagles tonight, we're both picking the Bucks. I don't think they're getting the 40-something points. You said 35. I don't know. That's a good question. They'll just get the win. I'll help you with the win, even if it's by three.
Fair enough.
Yeah. But other than that, man, I mean, I don't think we got any other news outside of everything else going on with John Gruden. And now no, they're trying to bring else. In Adam freaking Schefter down. What else we got, Johnny?
We have the Washington football team. Retiring Sean Taylor's number 21 jersey on Sunday.
99 years too long. I cannot believe it took that long. I don't think I knew you. Did I know you? Yeah, I think I did know you at that time. I used to play that Madden. I don't remember which one it was, but I had Sean Taylor on my Madden team that year.
Yep.
Man, what a year that was. LaRon and Sean. I remember LaRon Landry. Sean Taylor combo is just too deadly. That's how long ago. I mean, we're talking.
Yeah, 14 years.
Oh, my God. 14 years to retire this man's jersey. That's so crazy. But I'm wondering if anybody else actually wore his jersey. I can't even remember.
I don't know, but they're retiring it. So it's not like he's going to just be in the Ring of Honor. Like, no one else is going to be allowed to wear 21.
That's good. That's good. That needs to happen. That should have happened before they even changed their name to the Washington football team, personally. But that goes without saying. But that's some good news and all this crap that we've been dealing with. That's a bright spot on a cloudy NFL.
End on a high note instead of a low note.
Yeah. Oh, God. Thank you, Johnny.
Also, I guess to bring it down a little bit, Russell Wilson is going to be out 6 to 8 weeks.
But that's fine because you know we get a chance to see, you know, what Geno can do, man. Not saying that he's going to, again, take over for Russell, but if Geno gets opportunity, we could see what, you know, obviously what happened with Teddy Bridgewater, what happened with Jameis. You know, maybe Geno gets a shot to start somewhere else
Poor
again.
Jameis.
Oh, yeah. We don't talk about those rumors until we get some actual details with that. That kind of came out of nowhere. Jason Lockenbora. Mm-hmm. Let's see what happens, but it's not his fault. I mean, unless it is. He's not throwing 30 interceptions, I can tell you that much. So far, his trajectory has been better. But I'm sure they're going to monitor all the quarterbacks that are on the market and go from there.
Doc, are you saying we're back on cap watch?
I mean, you saw I sent you that Instagram message yesterday. He said he's still working out. He's still running. He's still throwing. I always thought, hey, a team like the Giants, you know, who, I mean, this is, no disrespect, obviously, to Danny Dimes, but you got Mike Glennon as your backup. I'm just not 100% sold, even though he can do it. I thought Mike was good, you know, in Tampa. I didn't think they gave him enough chance to grow. Chicago, obviously, he didn't get a fair shot. But Cap, man, if I'm the Giants.
Let me ask you this question, then.
Do it.
Do you think it's beneficial given the current climate within the NFL with the Gruden news?
Oh, God.
That them bringing Cap back would be a good look for them?
It it would be too public relation-y. Yeah, it would be too public relation-y. Like, it would be too...
Kind of like what Gruden was talking about in that email?
Something similar to that. Yeah. Yeah, it would be too, like, I can't believe Roger Goodell made such and such a football team sign Colin Kaepernick to cover this whole, you know, racism thing, you know. Yeah, it would be too much. But do I think Colin Kaepernick is better than, you know, some of the guys that are starting right now? Yes. I mean, I think if Mike Glennon's your starter, you have to look at Kaepernick. If, you know, even though I tried to give General Mills the Tyrod Taylor treatment, if that's your...
He had a career game.
I mean, yeah, he's going to have career games, but can he have career games over and over again, as, you know, Tim McGraw once said, over and over again, right? No, he might not be able to do that. So it might be time for catwatch. You know, can Big Ben stay healthy? You know what I'm saying? It might be time for catwatch. But we'll see. Like I said, I don't know if he's going to get on a team. You know, do the football team believe in my man Heineken? Might be time for cap watch, right? So if Teddy B goes down again, do you turn the keys back over to Drew Lock? Might be time for cap watch. You understand what I'm saying? So, you know, Matt Ryan, it doesn't seem like he can play much longer. Might be time for cap watch. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, it could be cap watch, you know, and we just sit here and just watch these quarterbacks flail and just cap watch. We're back. But, Johnny, I know that people heard this podcast on their favorite podcast platform. But if they didn't, they can always go to our website at www.debateamongstfriends.com. Not only to review this episode, but all the previous. Be sure to tune in tomorrow as we see if the Bucks cover the Debate Amongst Friends spread of at least 3 points. But you know, we're going to come back here tomorrow with the news, the analysis, and the reads.